Shabbos, the air conditioner broke in Shemir Shabbos, and it's supposed to be 58 degrees. And you wonder, you know, do we know who we have here?
Rabbi,
I'm being Meshabeth you. I'm practicing.
Rabbi, I thought we said
Rabbi's
going to do
that. What, I said I'm not going to Meshabeth you? I never said that. Yeah, I did.
No, about the thing about the air conditioner.
Only here, but I live here. They should know. They should know who they have here, who the Zayich can be with. What?
They hear that also there?
In some, yeah, they don't know who I'm talking about. They might think I'm talking about Dr. Harris.
Probably shouldn't.
Okay. Okay, we are in Ein Testament Aleph. Did I push the recording started? Okay.
It didn't work.
We are in Ein Testament Aleph. And we said that David HaMelech...
Rabbi Margaret,
sorry?
It didn't say the recording has started.
It did. Because I tried it again and it stopped recording.
Yeah,
that means it's obviously recording.
It did earlier.
What?
It did earlier. You did push it the first time.
It did. So we are on Ein Testament Aleph. And we just learned the story of the Gevinim, that David HaMelech said they have no Jewish character traits. And then it says that he davened that the sons of Yonason, his friend Ben Shaul, should not be Niklat Ba'aron. And we explained yesterday that he davened before it happened. Once it happened, he could not intervene. That would be directly intervening. Whereas davening that he shouldn't be Niklat is davening beforehand. That's not called direct, and that's permissible. So we are up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines before the end of the narrow lines on Ayin Testament Aleph. Frank the Gemara. V'chstib lo yumsu avos avonim. How in the world is this going to happen? V'chayra, they didn't do anything wrong. It says, lo yumsu avos avonim, ubanim lo yumsu al avos. We're going on the second part of the pasuk. Children don't die because of the avarice of their parents. Why in the world are Shaul's descendants getting killed because of the Avera of Shaul? Now, the Ritva speaks out that each of these people, of these seven people, were Chayim Misa anyway. They would not have been killed had they not been Chayim Misa for something else. But not Chayim Misa that we had a reason to kill them. They had done something that upstairs, they were Chayim Misa. So the Rabbanu Shlomo made it, they're the seven that got Niklat. But it wasn't that they were innocent people totally, meaning Rachmana Litzlan, they had done an Avera, the Tachi of Misa, the Shemayim, or whatever it is, and this was the way the Rabbi Shlalem decided to punish them. But our question is still a question. But they are done, we don't work with that. But they are done, we have a rule. Banim lo yum swa avais. So how in the world does David HaMelech do this? The Torah says, don't do this. Now, obviously, this is divinely decreed. Because if not, the iron wouldn't be working. But usually, it works with the Torah. And if the Torah says, don't do it, so why all of a sudden here, did the Rabbi Nishleilim, Tabiyahu, the Rabbi Nishleilim, break the rules? So, the Gemara Amar Abchiyah Bar Amar Rabbi Yechonon, Mutav Shitiyakar Ais Achas Min HaTorah, it is better to uproot. Ais Achas, the Rishayim speak out, don't mean one letter. But it means any amount of the Torah, by Yischal Shem Shemayim Befrahesya. The story with the Gevinim caused a terrible Chil Hashem. And if it wouldn't have been rectified, that Chil Hashem would have persisted. The Jews don't treat converts. They don't treat Gerim. They don't treat people. They're apartheid, whatever you want to use. They treat them at a lower level. And that was a terrible Chil Hashem that needed to be rectified. So the Rabbeinu Shloilem said, in this case, we're breaking the rules of the Torah, and we're going to get these seven people to die as a rectifying it to the fact of the Gevinim. And people will see, as the Gemara explains later, this is a nation that does it correctly. That's what the Gemara will explain later. Now, again, the Ritva speaks out that innocent people wouldn't have been included. Happens to be that these people were guilty for other things. But again, Torah law would have said, it's not our business. We don't get involved in these things. Let the Rabbi Nishlam do it his way. But since over here was a shayla of Chil Hashem, the Rabbi Nishlam decided to do it this way. That's what the the way we explain.
But to say it just in this instance, and they wouldn't be chayav for something else, and you can't say that.
That's what the if it wouldn't be for the Ritva, I wouldn't have said this. But the Ritva says that it only happened because they were chayav mitzvah anyway. So the Rabbi Nisham set it up. The Rabbi Nisham sets up the whole world, right? It all works by divine intervention. So he set it up that these seven who were chayav mitzvah for other things anyway should be the ones chosen so they can rectify the Chol Hashem. They became the tool of rectifying the Chol Hashem. I guess it must have been a major kapara for them as well.
They could
only ask
for seven people.
Right.
What if they were asked for 10 people?
Again, this is all... Now, why did they ask for seven people? It's very interesting. Yerushalmi says, because Shaul killed seven Gevinim. But Bavli holds Shaul didn't kill any Gevinim. Bavli says clearly not that way. So, I don't know the reason why Bavli says why they asked for seven people. But the bottom line is, it all works wonderful. If there's no Rabbi Nisham, all these questions are questions. The Rabbi Nisham set it up that they asked for seven people. So seven people would be guilty, and this way the Chol Hashem would be rectified. Now, by judicial law, we don't do these things. It's not the law of the Torah. But the Rabbi Nisham said, in this place of the Chol Hashem, this is what I want to happen.
You mean to say, instead of take out one letter from the Torah...
It doesn't mean take out literally. We didn't erase the Sefer Torah.
I know.
It means you didn't keep, and it doesn't mean a letter. It's Lav Davka. You break the halacha of the Torah in order... We don't have the right to do it, but the Rabbi Nisham did it.
Who says that
anytime
someone dies,
that
they're being punished? Who says that? That's a punishment. Maybe whatever
Hashem had to do with the Ritva could have said that, but he didn't. I'm just quoting a Ritva. If you want to say these people were supposed to die at this moment anyway, and the Rabbi Nisham orchestrated it that they should die this way, so therefore there should be a rectifying, if there's such a word as a rectification, of a Chol Hashem, that would be a wonderful pshat also. But I'm just quoting a Ritva. I didn't make this up. Had I made it up, I would have made it up your way. Maybe.
And to say that the Yevonim had the Shadda Shemaya, in other words, to pick these.
They didn't pick it. The Aram picked it.
Did these people go willingly, or did they know?
Listen, they had no choice. Did they scream, fight and scream to the end? It doesn't say. Now you can write your own story here if you want to. I have no...
When David rounded them up to test them against the Aura, did they know?
Well, they probably knew, and if they did know, they did know. Listen, you understand, it's not... The king was king. The king was king. Bachweisha, the king was king. You did what you told, you know what I mean? Did they fight and kick and scream? I don't know. Zangti Gemara Vaitre. Batikach Ritzba Bas Arya Sasak. Ritzba Bas Arya was a mother of two of these children. She was Shaul's wife. And two of the people killed were her children. She took a sack. Batiteu La Latsur. If you can help me with the translation. She
spread
it over the rock.
Spread it over the rock.
For herself, the rock. Right. Mitchilas from the time of the beginning of the harvest. At nitzach mayim aleim and hashemayim until rainy season, loynasna eiv hashemayim lenuach aleim yomam, that prevented birds from pecking away rachmana l'slan on the dead bodies by day, the chayes asad the laila and animals at night. She protected the bodies from outside, whatever word you want to use.
Where did they bury them?
Pek de gemar v'chsim loysalun nivlas aleit. We have halacha that you have to bury them the same day, and here they were left out. From Tchilas Kutcher, which I believe is Pesach, until the winter, till after Sukkot. So I don't know if it's Pesach or near Shavuos, but Kutcher is that area till the rainy season came. Amar Rabbi Yechon Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yitzadok. And how David HaMelech knew how to do this, I don't know. But Mutav Shitziyah Karech HaSachim and HaTairah B'Yizkadeh Shem Shemayim B'Vra Hashem. This created an unbelievable Kiddush Hashem. People who passed by and saw these seven people hanging, covered, but hanging. They said, Matibam Shalalu. Who are these seven people? They told them, Halalu B'nei Melachim. These are from a royal family. Uma Asu. What did they do to deserve this? Pashti Yedeim Begerim Grurim. The royal family hurt the Gerim Grurim, which is a lower, I don't know what he translates, Grurim.
Unaccepted.
Unaccepted? I wouldn't have said unaccepted. I would have said like a lower class Gerim, because the Gevinim are a lower class Gerim. They're from the Shiva Umas.
What does Rashi say?
I don't know if Rashi says anything. That what?
Okay, thank you.
The Gaim said, there is no nation that's kedai to join like this Jewish nation who sticks up for the Gerim Grurim. Ma b'nei melochim kach, b'nei ajaitas halachas kama b'kama. They did this to a royal family, how much more they would do it to commoners. This is what they do for the Gerim that are unaccepted. Imagine what they do for their own. 150,000 people converted. Shlomo had 70 people carrying sabo as packages, I think. 70,000 people carrying packages, burdens. Ushmaynim Alam Khaitsa Bahar, and 80,000 ewing away at a mountain. Fact the Gemara Batomi Yisrael Havi. How do you know those 150,000 weren't Jewish? That the Gemara Laisakadaitl Dusiv, but they saw the Nasr Shlaim Evan. Shlaim did not use any Yidden as his servants. Fact the Gemara Batoma Dugzer Ba'almam. Maybe they were hired hands. They weren't servants. Alamahacha. So we go to a Pasik in Divrei Hayamim. I don't know how to pronounce that word. Vayisbar?
Yeah.
Vayisbar Shlomo Kohanoshim Agerim Asheberet Yisrael. He counted the Gerim. Vayimtsu Meach Vachamishim Elav. He found them to be 150,000 Gerim. Vayasmem Shivim Elav Naisi Sabo. Vayashmarim Elav Chaitzav Bahar. And he used 70,000 to carry burdens and 80,000. He hired the Gerim. He hired the Gerim to do work for the royal family, for the Kohan Yisrael. So we see clearly they were Gerim. Now, the Mishnah have a kasha. We weren't Makabel Gerim in the days of David and Shlomo. All of a sudden, there's 150,000 Gerim. So different answers are given. Some answers are given because we're afraid that the Gerim don't come for a good reason. They come for ulterior motives. These 150,000 came for the right reason. They saw the my love Klal Yisrael. Not riches, not fear of war, but look at the character traits, the way the Jews stick up for the downtrodden. And that's a legitimate reason for Gerim. It's not an ulterior motive, and therefore we accepted them. And some say, that the Gemara said earlier, that we didn't push this Gerim, we didn't accept it, but they got it anyway. They got people to be Megayer them, and once they're Nisgayer, they're Nisgayer. So this is two ways to learn how all of a sudden in Shlomo's days there's 150,000 Gerim, when we said earlier, Ein Mekabel Gerim made David and Shlomo, because people are Megayer for ulterior motives. So either they didn't have ulterior motives, their motives were pure, knowing that this is a nation that stands for right, and therefore it must be a religion to follow, or because they got it done anyway, and once it's done, they're Gerim. I don't know who told David to do this. It doesn't say that. The other thing came from the Aaron. I don't know where David got this reason. Maybe, obviously, it was a raw shot.
Maybe that's what they wanted. They said, let them hang. This is what the
Gibbonim
wants them.
It just said they hang him. It didn't say how long.
They complied with their will, and then...
Maybe. I don't know the Psukim and Navi. I don't know if that's what it said. All I know is, Tysus points out a Medrash. Vatateo lo al Hatsur. She said, Hatsur tamen po'aloi. She said, the Rabbeinu Shlom knows what he's doing. She lost two sons. And she was Matzdekala Sadin, meaning she didn't question Hashem. She said, this is the will of Hashem. I accept it.
Rabbi.
Tysus
why is that a good reason to accept a ger? They like our justice system. They think it's fairer than theirs. They think it maybe reflects positive mitos. But why is that alone? I mean, you could see if their societies were horrible, so horrible that 100 and however many, hundreds of thousands rush to convert. Why is that for us a legitimate reason to accept them?
Again, my speculative answer is that people identified the justice system and character traits with the Rabbeinu Shlom that you're following. When they follow Avodah Zarah and they live a horrendous character trait life, obviously something is lacking in their, whatever word you want to use, their gods who are supposed to be directing them. And when they see a nation that is above that and has more sterling character traits and stands up for the oppressed, that means obviously their God led them in the right way. He must be the true God. That's how I understand it.
It just seems the very volume should have suggested a little more scrutiny for each of the converts. I don't know. It seems when those numbers of masses immediately rush to change.
Well, I don't know if they came in just, one day. You know, they came over a period of time, but I guess it came in a short period of time because by the time David died, which was very shortly after that, Shlomo HaMelech, when he started building the Beit HaMikdash, had these 150,000. So whether it was over a year or 2 years, I don't know.
Okay.
Was Shlomo a very young person when he built
Beit HaMikdash? Well, he was 12 when he became king.
Right.
I think he might have finished the Beit HaMikdash in 8th year of it. I don't remember. I don't know Navi well enough, and that's tight on me. But I think in the 8th year of his, I believe. Rashi. I think we did the Rashi yesterday. V'al yischa'o shem shemayim. She umas aymrem ein umazu ruin lidabigva. People will say this nation is a bad nation. Shaya pashti yedeim begerim little mizineseyem. They took away food from the gerim. V'yasabam nekama never took punishment for those who did it. Aditach mayim aleim ad yimaisak shamim le'nitnu l'kvura. Dugzer schirim, hired hands. Ela mahacha. V'yisbar shleim esko anashim v'yimtzu mei v'chamishim elav. He found 150,000 gerim. Period. So this is the story of where the Nesinim became usher for marriage. Again, we're not finished yet. When we finish, we will go back and reflect. But this is so far the story that we had.
So none of these 100 comments are from
that nation. No, obviously not. So at this point, the issue of marriage to Nesinim is rabbinic. Clearly in the Gemara, it is a gzeirah of David HaMelech. That's what, at least the way Rashi learns. Obviously, we're going to see. I don't want to get confused now. I'd rather confuse people later. That's the Gemara invite. Frank the Gemara. Unesinim David Gazer Aleihem? David is the one that decreed it? Moshe Gazer Aleihem. Didn't Moshe make them into slaves? And by making them into slaves, don't they become biblically prohibited because you're not allowed to marry slaves? Why do we need David HaMelech to tell me that you can't marry Nesinim? Moshe Rabbeinu said, because this happened in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu as well, not only did they fool Yeshua, but before they crossed the Yarden, some of these seven nations had come to Moshe and played the same trick and got away with it as well. And Moshe went and put them to be water carriers and wood choppers, and they were avadim. If they're avadim, there's a law in the Torah to marry an Eved. You don't have to have a gzeira drabanan. They are biblically prohibited. They are avadim k'nanim.
You say they're avadim, the wood choppers,
the water carriers. Since he called them chaytve etzim in front of them, they were designated as a certain group. They're not yidden and they're not accepted as gerim. El avodim, v'avodim sulam nino, v'givoyim chaytve etzim nino. The law of Yeshua. Yeshua did the same to the Gevinim that Moshe had done to the previous group. And Moshe made them slaves. And slaves are biblically prohibited. I don't need David HaMelech to tell me not to marry them. I explained it Rashi's way.
The people who chop the wood for the Mishpeach, it's not a bit to make this.
There's nothing to do with
that. Not from this family at all.
Not that I know. They're talking about people that brought wood as korbanos. That's what you're referring to. And for the Gemara.
That's when they made a holiday.
That's the families that donated wood. It didn't say anything about chopping wood. It doesn't say who chopped the wood. It said they donated wood. When they first came back and by Cheney, there was a shortage of wood, these families stepped up and donated the wood.
It took a long time until they donated the wood, because it came one specific time.
Each family had their day, and therefore it became decreed that this is a family holiday that they don't have nothing to do with this Gemara. And for the Gemara, Moshe Gazla Hudara. Moshe only made it for one generation. That generation of people who tricked him would be slaves. And therefore they weren't really slaves. Because slaves aren't a temporary situation. He didn't say they're slaves. He said for this generation they will be working. But after this generation, they're now free to go. And therefore they're not slaves. And they're allowed to marry. Into Klal Yisrael. Came along David HaMelech and he said, no, they can't. So what happened was, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have made them slaves permanently, that's slavery. That's Layir Kadesh. But once Moshe Rabbeinu only said, for one generation, that means they never became slaves, halachic slaves. Slavery is not one generation. It passes on. It's, I don't know what word. It goes on. The very fact that it's a temporary slavery means it's not a halachic slavery. And therefore they were not banned from marriage. And therefore came along David HaMelech and said no marriage with this nation.
Marriage, what does that mean?
There was no derisa of marriage.
Against marriage. They don't say that, except that.
Because they're not slaves, Tyson speaks out in service.
Except that, first that generation.
No, because you don't have temporary slavery.
Don't rush
up,
hold
me
anyhow.
Yes. Once a person's a slave, their children are slaves, their grandchildren are slaves, the island bought unless they're freed.
Rashi said
slave,
he didn't say slave.
He did. He said, Elavadim Sulim Ninu. They're ready puzzle. That's what the Kash on David HaMelech was. Why did he have to ban marriage? They're banned, they're slaves. That's how Rashi learned the question. He said, I just want to make clear, I'm not making up this Pshat in the Gemara. I'm trying to explain Rashi's Pshat in the Gemara. Other Rishonim have learned differently.
Rashi's Pshat is real slaves or not real slaves?
He said real slaves. In the Kasha of the Gemara, they were real slaves.
And that's
Rashi
means
that
they're real slaves?
Yeah, in the Havamina, when the Gemara thought that Moshe's ban is permanent and there's no reason for David's ban.
Right.
Rashi understood if Moshe made them slaves, they're banned permanently. And for the Gemara, they were not banned permanently. Now, Rashi doesn't say anything here. Tysus in Tzubas speaks out, I believe it's in Tzubas, I'd be here too, that once you say it's not permanent slavery, it's not biblically prohibited slavery. There is no temporary slavery in the Torah. So now, it was never an issur of marriage, it was just that they had to work. One generation had to work. And once that generation is over, they became regular Gerim. So David HaMelech had to come along and say, no marriage.
Tosfos's understanding of Rashi is slave.
Rashi said slave.
No, but he meant slave. He meant.
Again, the Havamino to Maskana, things change.
In order to understand what makes sense of Rashi, it has to be Maskana. It doesn't make sense. Rashi doesn't make sense if it is.
Again, Rashi explains Gemaras. He explains Havaminas, and he explains answers. He's not a halacha sefer. He's telling you what did the Gemara mean when it asked the question. Did David ban the marriage? Moshe banned the marriage. So Rashi, where do you see Moshe banned marriage? All he said is that it should work. So to explain that question, Rashi says, Moshe made them slaves. and automatically they're banned from marriage. The Gemara answers that question. I mean, the Gemara gets out of that. They were not slaves. But Moshe made them work. The answer is, he made them work that generation. That's not slavery. And therefore, they were not slaves. They worked, but they weren't slaves, halakhically, because if they would be, it wouldn't be one generation. Once it's only one generation, it's not slavery.
Were these the same Givon?
I don't know whether it's exact same people or a different nation. I don't know. Rashi and Chumash tells me, the Gemara here tells me, that during Moshe Rabbeinu's time, the same thing happened from people who from the Sheva Uvites. Who they were, I don't know.
No. The way I understand it is that Moshe allowed them to live, but only if they were acting as, they were slaves, quote-unquote slaves, and the following generation was allowed to marry into the Israel?
That's what we're saying now, according to Rashi's shot. Correct. Because they weren't real slaves.
So they really had geirus, too?
Yeah, well, they definitely had geirus.
That's legitimate, right?
In the Hava meaning we thought it was geirus of slaves. Abed Kanani. And the Maskana is, at this point, that it wasn't Geirus of Eber Kanani, it was real Geirus. And the reason we're saying that is there's no temporary Abdus. Either you are or you aren't. Zakti Gemara, Bakati Yeshua Gazer Alayu. But Yeshua was Gazer of the Gevinim. Dechsev, Vayitim Yeshua, Vayayimahu, Chayt Ve'etzim, V'shoy Ve'mayim, Lo'edo, L'mizbeach Hashem. And the Gemara understands that this is even for future generations. Because the pasuk says, Lo yikaris mikem chayt v'yetzim. You'll never end up, you'll never get out of chayt v'yetzim. That means he didn't do it just for his generation. The answer we gave for Moshe Rabbeinu is great, for Moshe Rabbeinu. But Yeshua said, you're permanent chayt v'yetzim. That's slavery.
And what's kasha then?
So why did David have to be geyser? They're slaves. You don't need a gzeira on slaves. It's biblical.
I mean, Yeshua took a step from Moshe.
It was a different group.
Oh, a different group.
Yes, the ones that fooled Yeshua. Moshe dealt with the ones that fooled him. Yeshua dealt with the ones that fooled him. But Yeshua clearly stated it's permanent. Don't crash it. Moshe goes to Elam who dar achay treitzim shoy biyamav. Vayitnim Yeshua.
Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want them to become real slaves, right? He didn't want them to do that, right? So Yeshua could go and do that?
Again, it's a different group of people.
I understand. I mean, the severity of what they did.
Why did Yeshua treat them more severe than Moshe? I don't know. Make up a terrorist. I don't know.
I don't do that. Not in front of Rebbe.
I don't know.
That means Moshe and Yeshua knew that these people were not real when they came and they wanted them higher.
Again, they originally came and they fooled them.
Yes, so originally Yeshua allowed them to be a full geirus.
Obviously, no. Well, he accepted them, promised them he wouldn't kill them. Now your question is, once you're Megayer as a Jew, how do you make him as an Eved Kanani? So obviously he did not accept him as Geirus, he just promised he wouldn't kill them. Then when he found out, he made them Avadim.
And when the Gemara calls him Geirim.
We're in the middle of a sugya, you know what I mean? I don't know exactly what you're trying to ask. Let me finish. And for the Gemara, Yeshua Gazdim is Manshe Beis HaMikdash Kayim. You're right. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Yeshua said they'll never stop being chayt v'etzim v'shay v'mayim. But again, once there's no Beis HaMikdash, their status changes, which means they're not avadim. Again, temporary. A much longer temporary state. But it's not permanent. He said as long as there's a Mizbeach Hashem, you people will work for the Mizbeach. He didn't turn them into avadim. If he did, he wouldn't say Mizbeach Hashem. He would say you're avadim. He said, you're serving the Mizbeach Hashem. You guys are going to work. From now, as long as there's a Mizbeach. It didn't ban marriage. They could marry, at this point, they could marry Jews. They're not Avadim. Again, the way to... They're not Avadim. There's no temporary Avdus. You can't have avodim that's not permanent. If you again, I'm not saying no rishonim or no you. The way Tysus explains Rashi is that once it's not permanent, they're not Eved Kanani. They never were Eved Kanani. They were Jews who were forced to work. Came along David HaMelech and said, no marriage. Forget about it. No marriage. David Gossip is my shame based on Mikdash Kut. This is Rashi's way of learning the Gemara, the way the Rishayim explain Rashi. Rashi is my shame based on Mikdash Kut, and the Sivlim is Be'ach Hashem. Now, before we move on, I think I can confuse you. We had a Gemara a number of lot back, I believe in Ayyubav Amnalef, that said that you can't, what is like this Chatein Bam? There's a law in the Torah to marry the Shiva Umas. The Gemara had a Havamina there that it meant when they're Goyim. And the Gemara said, no, Chitun means with a Jew. And therefore the Gemara said, biblically, the Gevainim, the Sinim, are banned from marriage. Biblically. Our Gemara says it's rabbinic. Our Gemara says that the whole thing is rabbinic. There was no biblical ban on marriage. That's the contradiction between the sugyas. It's chatan bam by mitzvah? Where is that? No, it's chatan bam by the Shiva Umos. So the shiloh over there, does it mean while they're Goyim? And then the Gemara said it's after they became Jewish. And here the Gemara says it's only rabbinic.
But you have to kill them while they're
Goyim,
right? You have to kill them.
Yes. The Torah says, like this chatim bam.
What does that mean?
Don't marry them. Which means there's a law if you marry one of them, if they don't live in Eretz Yisrael, where there's no chiyuv to kill them. If they come from the seven nations, you can't marry them. Dr. Gemara, you don't say marriage with a guy. Therefore, it must mean when they become Gerim. So that means it's biblically prohibited. And this Gemara says it's only rabbinically prohibited. This is the contradiction. Rashi does not deal with the contradiction. But Rashi learns that Nesinim is only rabbinically prohibited. And so the Rambam Paschus as well. That means they learn like the Havamin of the Gemara there. The way it says Chatamba means while they're Gayim. Not like the Maskana Rav said there, but the Gemara here goes that it's only when it's Gayim. And how Rav will learn David HaMelech's Gera, I don't know. It's only for work. Tysus learns, Rabbeinu Tam Shit is, that it's biblically prohibited from marrying the Sinim. And all David is, he added on slavery. He never banned them from marriage. They were banned from marriage biblically. The Gemara said David HaMelech got upset at them, that they had such terrible character traits. So he said, don't have anything to do with them. Let them work. Nothing to do with marriage. You weren't allowed to marry them before. But he was so bothered by their character traits that he didn't impose a ban on marriage like we understood. That was biblical. He imposed a work, put him to work. Correct, Gemara Maisha put him to work. Maisha only put him to work for one generation. Yeshua put him to work. Yeshua said only while the Beit HaMikdash is standing. David said permanently. So according to Rabbeinu Tam Shita, marriage is biblical. This whole discussion is only work. Not like Rashi, who says David banned them from marriage. They were banned from marriage in the Torah. David HaMelech was so bothered by their character traits, he said, they got to be avodim permanently. They got to just make them work. Whereas Moshe did it for one generation, Yeshua did it until it was based on Mikdash, David said it's permanent work, nothing to do with marriage. That's Rabbeinu Tam Shita. And then you have the Rishayim like Ramban and the Rashi and others, that's a very chiddush thing. They say the lav of Leishis Chatenbaum is the first generation. The ones who are in Eretz Yisrael, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, that generation, you have no right to marry them even if they become Gerim. Like the Gemara said, it's talking about after they become Jews. But their children are okay.
Maybe you shouldn't marry first generation Bali Shubin.
Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? What exactly are you trying to accomplish here? Chas v'shalom. So they learned that the Chatan Bam is on Jews, like the Gemara said in Ayin Vav. But here it says David Grazer marriage. They don't want to learn like Rabbeinu Tam that this is not marriage. It sounds like we're talking about marriage. The Mishnah here was talking about marriage, and we brought this whole story in. So they say it was only the generation that was alive at the time of Kibush. They, you can't marry, but their children are not bad. Therefore, David HaMelech came in bad marriage. So there's three different, there are more, but these are the three basic Rishayim's approach. How Rashi reconciles with the other sugi, I don't know. But Rabbi Tam learns that this is only work. The other Rishayim say first generation is biblical, later generations are rabbinic. Rashi, I don't know how he reconciles Rabbi with the sugi, I don't know.
So we want to separate them from the Havon, right? That's why he made them slaves.
Right. Even though they weren't allowed to marry, he just wanted them further away.
Well, you know, you do further away, there's a better way of doing further away.
I know, you weren't there to advise him, so I guess he didn't know.
They're still part of the group, right?
I don't know what that means, yeah.
No, they're there. You put them away, you put them in the Mitzora.
The where?
You put them like a Mitzora. What? Yeah.
I think you have a misconception of what Mechut L'machna means. What do you think Mechut L'machna means? Where do you think a Mitzora was not allowed to be? He was not allowed to be in Yerushalayim and in any walled city from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. A Mitzora could live in Tel Aviv. It happens to be a Mitzora to keep people out of his Dalet Amos. But not because he's not allowed to be in Tel Aviv. He could live in the house in Tel Aviv. Or in Haifa. Or Bnei Brak.
Holy walled cities?
Holy walled cities. Machne Yisrael. Which is only walled cities in the days of Yeshua ben Nun and Yerushalayim. See, in your mind, we always imagine the Mitzora is sitting out there forlorn in a little desert somewhere, or in a field, no house.
During the Midbar, right, when they traveled, they were...
But we're not talking about Midbar now. We're talking about Eretz Yisrael. So you're right. The Gerim could be, they could live like Mitzora. They could live in Tel Aviv, in the Bnei Barak, in the Haifa, and in Tzvat.
But Rebbe's right. Where do you see that?
It's a Mishnah. My God,
it's a Mishnah?
Yeah.
Where? No, I'm pressed. Daf Aleph, where?
But, Zach, take my
advice. That question is based on what you're talking about. Korach was a neighbor with a Reuven.
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible if Machlon Levia was in the middle of everybody? What made him a...
He was on the side of the Dago Machne Reuven.
Wouldn't the Levium around?
Each section of Levi was on a different side.
So he was
on the same side as Dago Machne Reuven.
It was within each Shevet they were told where to camp.
But the Degalim were given sides.
Yes, but Machne Levium.
And Machne Levium was also given sides. It's in the Pasuk.
Weren't they in the center?
Around the Mishkan on different sides.
But all of them were around it. Only the them were
again,
around
it. Let's try it again. Here's Mishkan. Yes. On one side is Kahat, and on one side is Gershon, and on one side is Merari, and on one side is Moshe and Aaron is chosen. Now, on the side that was Kahat was the same side as Dago Machne Reuven, a few thousand amas away. But whereas the other ones were not on Kahat's side. Don't think of my right to be May Rabbi Bixulach and Nesinim. In the days of Rabbi, they wanted to be mafker them. They wanted to say, we want to make Hefker Bez and Hefker. We can release them from their work responsibility.
To marry also?
To remove the Isser of, it's a good question, Pashtus of work. Amalem Rabbi Chokeinu Natir, Chelik Mizveach Miyatir. Meaning we have a right to permit them, as far as we're concerned, but they're servants to the Beis HaMikdash. We happen not to have a Beis HaMikdash, but they have to remain in the obligation to serve the Beis HaMikdash, which therefore impedes us from letting them go. We can't be matter them, because being matter them would say they're totally free and they never have to work, and it's not true, because as soon as they're Beis HaMikdash, they go back to work, and therefore we won't be matter them. Rashi, chokeinu natu, nicholim bezno hatu lahefker chokum shiyisrol, the kaim lo hefker bezno yehefker. So the Gemara pleaded Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, that argues with Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, who says that we don't have to be matzah chelik mizbeach. It's automatically off once there's no Beis HaMikdash. Dam Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Rabbi Yechon, chelik eidu loy lamasr. Chelik mizbeach, with man shu Beis HaMikdash chayim asr, ain Beis HaMikdash chayim shari. So according to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, we could remove our chelik, and then they would be totally off the hook. Again, according to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, it doesn't go back.
Yeah.
Once there's no mizbeach, it's over.
No,
Rabbi says it's there in limbo, waiting for the mizbeach to be rebuilt. Rashi, please, Rabbi Chiya, how to come a chelik mizbeach miyatir? Rabbi got the mizbeach from a Rabbi Lehavi. Come in a chelik mizbeach aser. He says they still remain aser because of the chelik mizbeach. Please, Rabbi Chiya, chelik eidu loylam aser, achia tiru until they remove it. So according to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, they were allowed to remove it. According to Rebbe, they could not remove it because they're still bound to the Mizbeach, and that we can't remove.
So according to Rebbe, when Mashiach comes, there'll be Megala who will be
I have no idea. We'll have to wait and see. Merch Hashem next week, this week, maybe even by Thursday, maybe even before the Ofruf. Maybe Mashiach will get to speak by the Ofruf. Maybe. Merch Hashem. The Mashiach thinks your praises will be much better. Yes. I think so, yes. I think so. I'm not sure. I think so.
By Mashiach, what was it talking about there? He's listing a bunch of people to do what?
He's talking about Atam Nitzavim Hayayim. And he says a whole bunch of categories in Klal Yisrael. I don't want to quote the Pasuk Balpeh because I was told I'm not allowed to quote Pasuk Balpeh.
I can read it.
You can't read it. Atam Nitzavim Hayayim Kulchem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem Vaseichem Shefteichem Zikteichem Shetreichem Kol Yisrael Tapchem Nisheichem V'Gercha Shurecha. So we finish Gerim Bechoy Tevetzecha Atchayev Remecha.
And he's giving them all this.
He's telling them that they're all accepting the breath.
So these are
Avadim also accepted the breath. So I think Rashi in the Tzavim of the Pasuk Mechaita Beitzecha Achay Bemecha says that just like by Yeshua the Gevinim came and tricked Yeshua, so also in the time of Maish Rabbeinu they came and tricked. I think it's Rashi and Chumash. Yes, Rashi and Chumash. The Maish of Rashi probably brings it. It's a Rashi and Chumash. Rabbi Cohen's not up to there yet in the Sefer, the Parshas itself. Where are you up to? I haven't heard of Bart recently. Where are you up to? No, where are you up to? By Yishlach? By Yeshev? Where are you up to? But where are you up to in writing? What?
I tell you where I'm at.
Dr. Mishnah Vaiter. Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Shamati Shasaras Chaylitz Vacholtin Leishtai. Vasaras Chaylitz Vacholtin Leishtai. I heard that some Sarisim are people incapable of having children, they do Chalitza and their wives get Chalitza. And some Sarisim are not obligated to do Chalitza. The Yavama would go free, and their wives are not obligated to get chalitza if they die. Va'ainli lefarish, but I don't know how to explain it. This is where I spoke this out a few weeks ago. There's supposed to be a Yerushalmi that says, what does it mean Rabbi Shua heard it and doesn't know how to explain it? When his mother put him in a carriage in Shul, and he stood in Shul, he heard this, but he couldn't chop all the details. But he heard then that some saris yes and some saris no. And now he says, I heard this, but I don't know the pshat because I was a baby and I didn't catch that. That's how the Yerushalmi explains it.
Where's saris in relation to Tzodaka and Peshach?
We haven't said a word yet. This is all so far very not explained. In fact, Rabbi Yeshua said, Eli Lefarish. Rashi. Saris Lechailitz, Dixiv, Vayimacha Shmai Miyisrael. Prat Lesaris Yishmai Machoy. From the Yimacha Shmai Miyisrael, we learn out two things. Number one is that if the husband was a Saris, his name was erased anyway. And therefore, since his name was erased anyway, he is not, his wife doesn't need Chalitza Yibum. We also learn out that he can't be the one doing Yibum or Chalitza because he's not building his brother's name anyway, because he is incapable of having children. Now, so was an old man, but it doesn't make a difference. One is incapable, I don't know what word to use, inherently, and one is because of a side factor called old age. Dr. Kamar Baiter. Amar Rebbe Kiva. Now, there's going to be a Machloikas Tanoi. Now, let me explain. There are two kinds of Sarisim. There's the born Saris. That's its Saris Chama. Then there is the man-made Saris. That's a Ptua Daka. Koshav Chakam, whatever you want. But he's a Saris Adam. He's a Saris Chama, which means by birth. Why it's called Chama, we'll see in the Gemara. And it's a Saris Adam made by people. And this is where the Shaila becomes, if it comes through illness, do we view it like Chama? Do we view it like Adam? Now, we talk about it in the terms that we let him get married, because there's a law of Ptua Daka. Right? So we treat it like Saris Chama if it happens through illness. Not like Saris Adam. But that's not the issue in this Gemara. The issue in this Gemara is Chalitza and Yibum. Both ways. A, if the guy who's married died was a Saris or a Ptua Daka. B, if the Yavam is a Saris or a Ptua Daka. Saris Chama or Ptua Daka. So we have two things. The husband, and the yavam. And Rabbi Kiva is going to explain which one requires his wife to get Yibum or Chalitza and is obligated in the mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza, and which one does not require his wife to get Yibum or Chalitza and also doesn't have any requirement to do Yibum or Chalitza.
Yeah, but is it talking about that the original brother was this brother?
That both, again, both.
No. It could be he was regular in the beginning, and then he got this.
I said, I don't want to get involved now in that Shiloh.
That's
the Shiloh, whether illness is considered Sris Chama or not. Again, Sris Chama means Saris by birth. Sris Adam means inflicted by man. Tzudaka, Kushavcha. Three times I said.
Originally he was married. He was a perfect.
So again, you're getting involved in the Shaila. How do we treat a person that loses his organs because of an illness? Is that Abidei Shemayim or is that Abidei Adam?
How's it Abidei Adam?
He was captured.
Because some, I don't want to get involved in this now, some learned that B'dei Shemayim has to be born that way.
Okay. There's no
captioning,
you got sick.
Okay, don't think about it. We talked about this a few weeks ago, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we did.
We talked about prostate surgery. We talked about this. I'm a Rebbe Kiva. Ani Afarish. Sris Adam, Chaylet V'chol Tzul Ishtai. He was born okay. He became a Saris later in life. Therefore, he is not included in Misha Shmai Machui. When the Torah says anybody is incapable, because Shmai Machui, it means he was originally Shmai Machui. But if he originally was able to have children, and then something happened to him later on, he doesn't qualify for them, even though at this point he is not capable of giving birth, procreating, his wife is chayiv in chalitza and yibum, and he is mechuyiv in chalitza and yibum to his brother's wife. He is not the saris that the Torah excluded. The Torah meant the original saris. We will continue Me'ed Hashem tomorrow.